Welcome to episode 12 of What's On Joe Mind. We're a fan cast about the world of G.I. Joe. It's your hour of Joe power coming to you from all corners of the globe via the miracle of Al Gore's internet. We also welcome those of you who found us by Inside Pulse and YoJo.com. I'm one of your lovely co-hosts, Gary. Joining me with his sternly time-on-task look is our showrunner, Greg. How you doing, Greg?
Hey, Gary. How's it going?
I'm doing pretty good. Are you normally this mean in real life, seriously?
I am twice as mean in real life.
Oh, good lord. Actually, I met him in real life. He's not that bad, but I think the girlfriend was around. I think that was part of it.
She keeps me happy.
Good answer. Good answer. Hey.
She's watching over my shoulder, right?
It's very good. Very good. Tell her we said hi. Hey, he's here because someone needs to correct Chuck. He's the only member of the fandom who has their own forum smiley face. He's the big kahuna of Joe News. Welcome, GeneralJoes.com, Justin.
What's going on, guys?
Hey, Justin.
Another day. It's 0-0 in the top of the third in the All-Star game. Poppy just grounded out a little while ago, so we'll keep track.
Yeah, I'm a sports fanatic, and even I don't bother watching the All-Star game.
Well, we're playing for home field advantage when, you know, they're playing the World Series in Fenway.
Yeah, whatever.
Wow.
Wake me in October, I guess.
Okay. Hopefully by then the Patriots will be out of the playoffs.
Oh, a little smart ass.
Yeah, here we go. So another week, another interview, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, look at you. We'll talk about that real quick here after the we do the intro. But it's about time you got that con review up. Thanks. We appreciate that.
Yeah, I like to drag things out a little bit.
Just keeping up the suspense?
Yeah.
Mainly, I thought you were just doing a torture mic.
Yeah, there was that. There was that. And I keep on waiting for people to offer me a free stinger, but that just didn't come. So, to go on without it.
Well, speaking of someone that likes free stuff, by mentioning on the podcast, lastly, either love him or hate him, he's a syndicated columnist of InsidePulse.com and puts the imp in Pimp Daddy Destro. Hey, everybody, it's Chuck.
Good evening, gentlemen. How's it going?
Chuck. Hey, Chuck.
Good.
Good.
Puts the imp in Pimp. I like that guy.
Do you like that? I actually worked on that all week.
Well, I am the original OG of the Pimp Daddies of the Internetees. I'm also basically drowning in a pool of my own sweat.
There's the groan, and I didn't have it ready when Greg's like, Well, listeners will be thrilled to know that this week Chuck does not have a bit scheduled for the opening, so there we go.
Thank God, the listeners, what about the rest of us?
Well,
pretty happy about that.
Me too.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, the listeners can at least fast forward and stuff. I mean, we have to kind of carry on with it, right?
All I'm going to say is the hits don't lie. That's it.
The hits don't lie?
Oh, boy.
Anyways, a long weekend for me. Mother-in-law has finally left, so I have my house back. Thank you very much. But anyways, tonight should be an interesting night while we're recording. Of course, we got the All-Star game going on. We'll share some scores and highlights throughout the night, and we'll talk about Joe News of the Week. So let's hop right on to the contact information. You guys all know the drill. If you'd like to contribute to the show or have any questions or comments and or suggestions, contact us at whatsonjoemind@gmail.com. Find us on our Podbean page at whatsonjoemind.podbean.com and whatsonjoemind.podbean.com/mobile for all mobile devices. We cover iPhones, Android, BlackBerry, Windows Mobile, and any phone that supports has an internet browser and can support MP3 playback. We always approve comments at the Podbean site, so if you leave a snarky comment like the guy did about Chuck, well, you can expect one back. You got compared to one of the Corys.
That was nice. I think I wrote that one.
He goes, which one? Is that the dead one?
I can't tell. Like, but the guy never responded. So was Corey Haim the dead one, or is Corey Feldman the dead one?
Corey Haim is the dead
Haim.
One.
That's what Wiki told me.
Well, I didn't think he was. I don't think he was being snarky.
I don't think you sound like him, though.
All right. Well, no. I think what happened is the guy was a little annoyed that I was complaining. I mean, he just. I don't think people really understand the frustration of, you know, you go to a box of G.I. Joes that, you know, has been sitting rather untouched and undisturbed for 20 years, and you open it up, and the first figure you pull out splits in half in your hand, and then you pick up the torso, and you got dried rubber falling out of it, you know?
Chuck, I think the fandom is well aware of your angst. But if you're not, please stop by our Facebook page at facebook.com/whatsonjoemind. Stop on by our home site at JoeDeClassified.com and find out our to find our sticky threads on TNI, Joe Customs, and now the Fighting 118th, and regular discussion threads on Joe Canuck, Terradrome, JBL, His Tank, Tri-State Vipers. Thank you very much, Chuck. Blood for the Baron, and if you can find it, the G.I. Joe Collectors Club.
That's a low blow, Gary.
Well, you know, we keep trying. And starting this episode, we will be found on YoJo.com, too. So we're moving on up.
YoJo, never heard of it.
Me neither, actually. Anyone here heard of YoJo?
That must be new.
I think so. Yeah. And don't forget to point your iPods, iPads, iPhones, and iTunes clients to the iTunes store where you can subscribe to the program. So before getting tonight's previews, upon further review, I have two corrections from past episodes that I need to make. Gasp, I know.
Two?
Ooh. Okay, first, on a previous episode, I made a generalization that Buck Rogers figures had, like, 5 points of articulation. Well, leave it to my friend Roger the Goofeteer to not pick up anything else from that entire episode other than the fact that Gary was wrong, Buck Rogers figures do not have 5 points of articulation. Okay, fandom, you'll be happy to know that Buck Rogers figures have 10 points of articulation. Does everyone feel better?
Yeah, you're a poor excuse for a geek, Gary. I know.
So the lost figures of Buck and Wilma and Twiggy and Dr. Hewer and Princess Ardala, they can now rest kindly in peace with my correction. Thank you, Roger. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, Roger.
Yeah.
I know I'm going to sleep better tonight.
I hope you do. Secondly, yes, last week I butchered the alias of one of our listeners. I was giving a shout-out to him in his Albany, New York-based Capital Region Small Joe Collectors Group, and I identified him as Glider Dave. No, that's just my lack of show prep got to me. His name is Gilder Dave, G-I-L-D-E-R, Dave. So if anyone is listening to the show in upstate New York and are looking for a local networking and or collecting group, hit up Gilder Dave on His Tank. My sincerest and most heartfelt apologies to everyone. Signed, your pal in podcasting, Gary. Moving on. Tonight on the program, someone will win a Sky Striker. But before
Me?
That... What?
Me?
Did you enter?
Sure. I knew all those answers.
Did you answer all your... You know all the answers?
Oh, yeah.
Well, we'll see if Greg pulls your name. But before that, we turn it over to Greg. So, Greg, tell us... What's on your mind?
Let's start off with some excellent movie news. The big announcement of the last week was that Ray Stevenson, recently of the Thor movie and also of the HBO series Rome, has been cast as Firefly in the new G.I. Joe movie. Production is supposed to start at the end of summer and is slated. The movie is slated for release in August 2012. So, Chuck, you had mentioned off air that you were a fan of his from Rome.
Absolutely. He is actually one of those actors that has this instant likable personality that you are invested in what his character is doing. I mean, I bought Punisher Warzone just because he was in it. I think this is a great casting. Yes, he may not be the proper archetype for Firefly, but I think he can do the character well, and it'll be really interesting to see how it goes, because I don't know if you guys heard the other bit of rumor that Firefly is actually supposed to be the main villain of G.I. Joe 2. So, you know,
yeah, I saw that kind of mentioned at one of the sites. I don't know if that's really been confirmed or not, but yeah, I did see that.
Well, I mean, if it ends up being true, I think this is going to be a big boom for, for a second tier character that I would say really, you know, die hard to moderately die hard Joe fans would only know about.
Yep. Yeah, I agree. I think the casting is great. I don't know a whole lot about Ray Stevenson. I do, I did actually go back this weekend and sit through Punisher Warzone. Again, I tried watching it once a while ago. I really couldn't get through very much of it. I don't think it was Ray Stevenson's fault, but the movie just didn't really resonate with me. But I went back and watched it again over the weekend, forced myself to kind of sit through it. And whether you kind of like the flow of the story or the action or whatever, he made a pretty good Punisher. He made a pretty good badass. He was pretty big, pretty imposing. Showed some pretty good emotion throughout the movie. I think he's a good choice for Firefly. And I think if he does end up playing Firefly, I wouldn't be surprised if if Firefly kind of emerges as one of the main antagonists of the film. And I think it's interesting because I don't know how many Joe fans have been paying attention. I did mention it on my site a while ago. It was probably quite a while ago. There was this G.I. Joe sequel script kind of floating out there in the dark areas of the internet, and somebody actually forwarded a copy to me, and I checked it out, and it was pretty good. It was pretty entertaining, but it was pretty quickly debunked by Rhett Reese and the guys, the scriptwriters. But I do find it interesting that in that script, Firefly is one of the main villains. Flint is in it. Lady J is in it. It seems to share a lot of similarities to the kind of casting news we're hearing about now, but there's a lot of differences, too. The sequel script also has Ripcord and Scarlet and a lot of folks in it that we know are not coming back. But I'm just kind of wondering if maybe it was an early draft and maybe we can look at it as something they might build upon. And if that's the case, I think we might be in for a pretty fun movie next summer if they kind of take some elements out of that script.
One thing I think will happen is that with Firefly being cast as Ray Stevenson, we might see a shift from the sneaky saboteur that Firefly was portrayed as in the comics, a little bit in the cartoon, and it might be a more aggressive version where he's more.
You kind of already see that with the Prince of Cobra Firefly.
You do actually. Well, I'm just saying because Ray Stevenson is a bigger, is a big old boy. You know, I mean, he's got some meat to his bones, and really, an actor with that type of look doesn't lend himself much to, stealth and, behind, sneaking in or out and stuff like that.
That's true. So. That was kind of a character that was somewhat missing from The Rise of Cobra, was kind of that big bruiser. Down and dirty. I mean, the Baroness was waiting in the thick of it, firing her little plasma pistols. But for the most part, most of the Cobra characters in Rise of Cobra were kind of slunk in the shadows. And, of course, there was Storm Shadow, but he was more stealthy and quick, too. But really have just a big, nasty, badass guy, killing people and doing stuff like that, like Firefly might.
Well, I was going to say, in general, isn't...
Well, you're looking for that bruising type of henchman that you see, in the Bond movies or something like that, where...
Yeah, I guess so.
He's
beating
the crap out of the hero, and the hero somehow pulls something out of their, bag of tricks or whatever, and ends up beating the big bruising bad guy. So it's the Goliath and David thing, I think.
Yeah, you could say that.
Well, wouldn't you say that most of the members of the Cobra Forces, the name characters, are, not really your big bruiser types that were used in the comics and in the cartoon?
I might be using the wrong... I'm not really talking about necessarily about size. I'm more talking about somebody who's on the front line being aggressive, kind of leading a battle. And, Major Blood kind of comes to mind, guys like that.
Oh, yeah, okay, now I see. Cause...
Baroness kind of filled that role in the first movie, but, I don't know, I'm thinking more of people who would be field commanders, kind of people in charge, lead bad guys on the field of battle.
Well, you figure in the comics... And in the cartoon, that role was filled by Destro as well as Major
Blood. Right.
In the movie, Destro, since Mars was really the main protagonist, he had that more behind the scenes role.
Exactly. Yeah. And I find it interesting that we haven't heard a single peep about Cobra Commander or Destro yet. As if it makes me kind of wonder: are they even going to be in the sequel, or is it just kind of mostly focused on Zartan?
How can you have a Joe movie and not have the number one and number two villains in the in the Cobra repertoire?
The way I'm looking at it, I really don't think you can. I'm really hoping I'm wrong and that they're going to feature those guys pretty heavily, because the way I'm looking at it. I'm just hoping they're not kind of looking at this, this is the second part of the trilogy. We'll really get into the Cobra stuff in part three, because with the way part one performed, without knowing how part two is going to do, I'm hoping they're really not depending on there being a part three to kind of get all of Cobra involved. I really want to see them kind of take out all the stops and do as much as possible in the sequel, because, Lord knows, I don't think we're guaranteed to get a third if the sequel, if the number two doesn't do real well. So I'm really hoping they...
Hey, Justin, we got an update from Phoenix. Alex Gonzalez just put American League up 1-0 with a solo shot.
Nice.
Okay. Well,
Adrian Gonzalez. Excuse me. That's the Red Sox. But anyways, what I wanted to say is, because I haven't really mentioned much on him. Firefly. Well, the actor's 47 and he's Irish. That's kind of not the demographic I kind of expected Firefly to be in the comic. I don't even know what I really envisioned him in the comic. I guess maybe because he went to the Arashikage school and joined the clan, I was thinking maybe, you know, Asian.
Well, his backstory in the old Marvel comics was that he was the son of a Frenchman in Indochina and kind of was adopted by a Vietnamese family in that area, and that's where he kind of met up with the Arashikage clan. Yeah. So, but thanks, it doesn't really say he's
Vietnamese. Thanks for jogging my memory. Yeah, now I seem to remember that. I couldn't remember if he was actually because of the French influence in Indochina there.
Yeah,
if he was a son of a Vietnamese and French father-mother combination or whatever.
Right, but they don't really specify. So he isn't necessarily Asian, but he could have some Asian background. You really couldn't tell by Andrew Wildman's art whenever he did actually show his face what, you know, whether he was Asian or not.
But at 47, he's a bit older than I envisioned. He's going to have a different accent than I envisioned Firefly to have, unless he's a good actor and he can change his accent. Like the guy that played Apollo on Battlestar Galactica, you wouldn't know he's a Brit when you see him on the show.
Yeah.
As an example, but the only movie I've seen Ray Stevenson in, and unfortunately I didn't see Punisher, and well, I take it back, I did see King Arthur, but I don't really remember him very much from King Arthur, and I did see him in Thor, but I don't remember very much of kind of his stuff in Thor, if he was funny, if he was, you know, I believe he played the character that kind of reminded me of the troll from Lord of the Rings.
He was Volstagg. Yeah.
But I did see him in on The Other Guys, where he was kind of, it was the comedy with Wahlberg
and The Rock, yeah.
And then The Rock was in it as well, and Will Ferrell. I thought he was really good in there and kind of had a dry sense of humor, so. You know, he can act a couple different parts of the spectrum, so, you know, we'll see. But in terms of, it could certainly be a worse casting, but I like it.
Yeah, I like it a lot. I think it's one of the best choices they've made so far, and it looks like a lot of the Joe fans kind of agree with that sentiment. And, you know, I don't know a whole lot about him besides Punisher Warzone, but he certainly kind of looks the part, and I think he could definitely act the part.
And coming up next for him... Oh. I was going to say, he's got a new movie coming out this fall, which he plays... Oh, it's another Three Musketeers movie, where he plays the role of Porthos, which is one of the Musketeers. So,
cool.
And actually, that if he's going to play any bit of the ninja background that he might have, you know, based upon the Marvel mythos of him, then he'll have the swordplay experience from Three Musketeers. So.
Cool.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, because I know Justin mentioned earlier, but if you look back at a lot of the criticism for Rise of Cobra, a lot of it was centered around Cobra Commander and Destro, that people didn't like the characterizations, they didn't like the way the characters looked, you know. It's very possible that with this sequel, you know, Destro and Cobra Commander could be mentioned, that basically Cobra's mission, or what, you know, this is like the early days of Cobra, that they've been born out of Mars. Their whole thing is to break Cobra Commander and Destro out of jail.
Yeah.
And that, and, you know, we won't see them maybe until the very, very end, but they will be mentioned. So that way the focus is not on them, but on these other characters, that they may be able to give a more, you know, recognizable appearance to from the comics, from the cartoon, from the toys.
Yeah,
that's a good point. I think, I mean, who knows what the story is actually going to be like, but that's not a bad guess for what might happen. But, all right, that is all for the movie news for the week. Now we shall discuss the latest episode of Renegades, which was on this past Saturday.
Yay, I hate that week off, but then again, I guess we're going to get many weeks off.
This is true.
Don't remind me.
This is episode
hiatus, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Before we're talking, do we need the preference with the spoiler music and give everyone a few seconds to fast forward about 15 minutes into the program?
Yeah, if they want, they can. I mean, it wasn't a whole lot of spoilers this week, but... you could consider them some spoilers, I guess.
Yeah, we don't really want to say anything. In terms of an excitement program, episode, it was okay. It was nothing outstanding, but we'll let everyone fast forward and we won't give anything more away. I think it's about enough. You think everyone has enough?
Yep, that's good.
Yeah. All right.
Actually, Gary, before you begin, I wanted to mention this actually came. I got this from my a source on Twitter, who's a cartoon and vintage television news site.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, Hub released their early lineups for next year, next season.
Mm-hmm.
And they have confirmed that Renegades is the C word.
Canceled.
Duh. Yeah.
Not hiatus, but the C word is being used.
Yep. I don't think that's much of a surprise to anybody.
Yeah, that's not shocking news. Okay, we definitely gave people plenty of time to move forward. Justin?
Yes.
Give us your insight on Renegades, would you?
It was one of those episodes that as I sat down and watched, I kind of kept on waiting for something to happen, and nothing ever really did.
That's the same thing I felt.
At least not from an action standpoint. I think after I watched it, sitting back and thinking about it, I was a little bit more intrigued by the episode. I was a little bit more interested because they spend a lot of time kind of on character development.
Which you kind of don't want them to do with only three episodes left in the series.
Yeah, you would kind of hope we
got that out of the way
in the early days, and then we could kind of see what those characters did later on instead of still learning about the characters this late in the process. But, I thought it was cool. It was all right. It was a lot of them running through tunnels trying to escape from this big drilling machine. There were some kind of dramatic moments between Scarlet and Duke where she thought maybe she was going to die. I don't really know what the source of those injuries was, but I know the rocks. The rocks collapsed on her, and I don't know if it was cutting off the air supply in there or something, but she seemed to be okay 1 minute, and then on death's door the next, and at the end of the episode, suddenly she was like, oh yeah, I'm okay. So I don't really know where the source of that was coming from, but it did provide some pretty good dramatic moments of her, talking pretty candidly with Duke about refusing to talk about her family first and foremost, and giving him her little locket that she carried around with her that we still don't know what it contains. But I really liked kind of the dynamic between Scarlet, Duke, and Snake Eyes in this episode, too. I know people probably get sick and tired of the whole love triangle thing, but I like how they handled it.
Was it necessarily a love triangle in the cartoon? Because it was not even near close to that in the comic.
In the cartoon, in the comics, it was never a love triangle in those specific continuities. But if you talk about discussion that goes on around those, there was always an argument about, is Scarlet with Duke? Is Scarlet with Snake Eyes? And then Resolute kind of played that off a little bit by creating a little love triangle within that single continuity. And then now Renegades, it's tough to call it a love triangle. All I've really seen is Scarlet kind of hugs Duke and thanks him for helping her out, and Snake Eyes sees it and gets pissed off and rides off on his super bike. And that's kind of the extent of it. But something's definitely going on there. Scarlet is hiding something, I think, which is...
Jealousy rears its ugly head.
Well, it almost seems like more than that, because if you watch the episode, they had a little preview of the next episode, and it's got Snake Eyes holding up a canister, and Scarlet's angrily asking him, what else have you found out, or what else do you know, or something like that. He knows some kind of secret about her that she doesn't want other people to know, and the episode is dramatically saying, will this tear the team apart before Cobra has a chance to, or something like that. So there's something kind of sinister under the surface there, whether Scarlet used to work for Cobra.
Dun, dun.
Yeah, exactly. Or who knows, but I like that element of it. I like that character development, but like Gary said, this would kind of be stuff you'd want to happen earlier in the series, or... if the series was going on, maybe, this kind of leads up to the climax that's happening over the next 2 weeks, and then it kind of really springs forward into season two. But as we all know, that's not going to happen at this point and probably won't happen. But ultimately, I think for character development, it was good. If you're looking for, an episode to kind of sit back and smile as Cobra Troopers shoot lasers and everything kind of goes haywire, this is not the episode you want. And I don't know about anybody else, but I'm getting really sick and tired of Ripcord and his bio-viper powers.
Yeah, the on-demand, he can, pretty much become Stretch Armstrong and a couple different other, superheroes that we've seen in the past where all of a sudden, here comes an arm to pull, Roadblock out of the way.
Right. I've been lenient on the bio-vipers. They're a plot device. They want the Joes to be able to riddle somebody with bullets, and they can't do it to a human, obviously. But to actually take one of the G.I. Joe characters and give him those powers.
Yeah, but they can take him down with Chinese throwing stars.
Well, that's true. That's
yeah. No, I'm just saying. I mean, the Joe vehicle, is what they're called, the Coyote?
Coyote, yeah.
Holy crap, that thing can take a beating.
No, no kidding.
I mean, that whole, whatever, that massive gun at the end of that that drill, I mean, just yep. nailed the vehicle, and you're like, well, that's done. We're not going to see that anymore. And they're like, oh, it's there. It still works. I mean, it's like a Timex watch, you know, it just keeps going.
The funniest thing is, I've actually been kind of rewatching some of the early episodes, and some of the early episodes focus on the Coyote that continues to break down. Like, they stop at Snake Eyes' cabin because a part in the engine fails.
Right, right.
Then they have to go to that black market car theft ring and busted because another engine spontaneously fails for no That's apparent right. reason. And now later on, like, it's getting blown up, it's getting riddled with lasers, it's explosions all over the place, things are skating along fine. It's like
starts right up, dries away. And then at the end of the episode, they're working on it, and then the continuation and the closing the home of the bat poop joke that carried on through the entire episode.
Yeah, and I mean, this thing has fallen in the water too during that shipwreck episode. I mean, pretty much everything you can imagine has happened to that poor Coyote, and it still seems to truck right along.
Well, you know, it's unfortunate. That would make a hell of a great toy.
You just got to keep in mind that this is actually a Cobra-designed vehicle. So I'm sure. It's, like, heavily armored. Maybe Cobra designed it that if there's, like, a situation of friendly fire, that it won't get totally destroyed.
Oh, yeah, I don't have any problem with being heavily armored. I just think it's funny that in the early episodes it kept spontaneously breaking down for no reason, and now that there actually should be reasons for it to break down, it's indestructible.
Well, that was all internal. You know, we have to look at, you know, it's external external damage.
Gotcha.
In a truck, car, whatever, it breaks down. You know, I mean, that stuff just falls apart. Plus, let's keep in mind, because we've seen under the hood, that's not, you know, your traditional truck type of setup. You know, there's like high-end computerized stuff, and you know, I guess you guys all know from working with computers how temperamental they can be.
Oh yeah,
I think we all have to agree that the Coyote is actually the star of G.I. Joe Renegades, and all the other characters are just guest stars.
Absolutely.
Accessories. Oh, I mean,
that ties back to the original concept of G.I. Joe.
Yep,
it was a vehicle line, not a figure line.
Yep, there you go. Nice little hint from the producers.
But yeah, I mean, overall, it was a decent episode, but just not quite as action-packed as I would have liked.
Yeah, it was. I agree with Justin. I mean, it was a little bit of a letdown there. But hey, it left on a cliffhanger. We're going to go into the mass device next, I guess. And I don't know if she is she wearing one of the catalytic elements for the mass device?
That's what I'm wondering. Yeah, I mean, it did say in one of the episode synopsis that that Scarlet has the key to the mass device. So it certainly does seem that maybe that's what she's got.
Oh, and at the very end, it glowed red.
Yep, that's right. All right, so we just have two more episodes left. Are they on back-to-back weekends then?
Yes, yeah. Revelations Part 1 is this Saturday at 7:30, and Revelations Part 2 is the following Saturday at 7:30.
All right, so we'll have to make sure we all tune in for the last two episodes. And that finishes up for news for the week, I guess.
And absolutely, no guessing. That finishes it up. we could talk about other things, but we don't have time.
Yes. Gary, do you want to go ahead and introduce our special guest?
Yes, we do have a special guest, and he will be happy to know that the theme music that I am playing for him is his favorite gem in the Holograms.
There you go.
So, we have a special guest tonight. He's a former mod at JBL. He's the admin of 1-118.com. Excuse me, did I say that right? 1-18th.com site and vice president of the Coil Midwest G.I. Joe Collectors Club. He's here to talk to us about the second annual Coil Con in Kokomo, Indiana. Online, you know him as Smokescreen. We know him as Jay Hunger. Welcome to the program, Jay.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Come on, Jay. How you doing?
Always a pleasure, Jay.
So, I get to feel like a big guest star. This is awesome.
Well, we really apologize about the fruit platter in the green room.
It was kind of green, wasn't it?
Yeah, it really was kind of bad. We told Chuck to get another one, and he just failed.
The flowers were nice, though.
Now,
I think
Chuck
you got those just for you.
Yeah.
Right on.
You got to read the card. It says, 2J, love Chuck.
I didn't know you cared. How's it going, guys? I guess we should talk about something, huh?
No. Well, yeah. No,
how about the National?
Really? All right, thanks for joining the program, everyone. We'll see you next week on number.
Why start talking about something now?
Well, Jay, tell us about. I'll just kick it off, and then I'll let the rest of the guys kind of follow up. Tell us about CoilCon and anything that you want to add. I know this year we're working on an exclusive figure for it as well. So yeah, tell us about CoilCon.
CoilCon. Basically, it's just an excuse for G.I. Joe fans to get together here in the Midwest, based out of Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, Kentucky, Michigan, anybody that wants to be involved. It's for you. We've had a couple meetings at Kokomo Toys in Kokomo, Indiana, this being the second, rather. Basically, yeah, it's just a reason for us to get together, you know, shoot the bull, talk G.I. Joe, talk about other things, maybe have a drink of whatever you choose to drink. Look at, you know, some pretty groovy stuff in terms of toys, vintage, new stuff. And
did you say groovy?
Groovy, absolutely, man. Come on.
Just checking.
Sock it to me.
There you go. But no, it's just a reason for Joe fans in the area to get together. And it sounds like we're going to have some friends that aren't so much in the area coming to visit us, which is awesome. Last year we had some dudes from Utah, and it was a good time, you know. And we're hoping to have just as much fun as we did last year, hoping to see a few more people. And, yeah, there's a couple little special things going on. We are dipping into the exclusive figure thing, so we're going to see how that works. If it's a success, we may continue that. I'll talk about that a little bit later. We have some cool little prizes to give out. And a kind of a tradition for us is that, you know, we've always wanted to have some fun. So what we would do is we would bring some stuff to give in, you know, like a little raffle kind of a thing. And then basically put it in a big pile and then redistribute as prizes to, you know, random names. You know, it's a good time. You know, you come with something, you leave with something kind of a thing. This year we were fortunate enough to get some sponsors to give us some goodies too, so that's kind of cool. The sponsors this year are Marauder Inc. Marauder John was we were fortunate enough to get some gun sets from him. We got a couple gun sets. We've got some figure stands from him. And we also got some goodies from smalljoes.com. So we're very, very fortunate to get some stuff from both of those guys. And, you know, we're going to be seeing some all kinds of stuff in these little grabs that we have. You know, I just ask that we don't do any more Venom versus Valor, because I always win the Venom versus Valor stuff. And this is payback for me just dumping all kinds of money into that line, and it's just karma just smacking me in the face. But no. Bring something, get something. That's basically how we do our prize table, with the exception being the sponsored prizes. There's going to be food there, drinks. It's going to be hot, so, you know, you're going to need your drinks. Last year was just crazy hot, but, you know, it was a good time. Everybody had a blast. It was nice to meet new faces in the area. It was nice to talk about Joe in general.
So tell us a little bit about your exclusive figure. We saw some pictures online that we posted the link to from past weeks, but are you making the figures yourself, or do you have a team of workers helping you out?
This year, it was pretty much I ran the course. I've been wanting to do this for years, and you know our group has been wanting to do it for years, and you know things got in the way, and it just didn't happen. This year, we were fortunate enough; it did happen. So we got his figure together. His name is Sidewinder. He's part of the Coil. He's a Coil Commando. So we have our little snake eyes. He just doesn't have a sword, you know. So he's got a crazy looking helmet, and he's got an interesting hat, as one person said. He's going to be semi-carted. He's going to be in a clamshell. That way, if you'd like, you can display him open, or you can display him in the cart just as well. We, again, were fortunate enough to receive a armament from Marauder Inc. So we've got some. He's got a pair of guns. He's got a machine gun and the NVR rifle. And something that's always fun for, you know, these figures of the scales to have an interchangeable head. So he's got a the bald trooper head from the 25th figures. He's also got a beret, which, you know, berets are always cool. He's a fun little character. So it's going to have a card, front and back. It's going to have a file card, and you know the pictures are online as well. So it's like I said, it's our little stab in the exclusive figure area, you know, just to have some fun and see how people take it.
And how much is the figure going to cost?
Figure's going to be $25. And basically it's first come, first serve, sorry. The convention actually opens up about 9 o'clock. We'll probably start selling about 10. That way I give them a little time to get there. And God, hopefully there's a line. Hopefully there's a line.
So, you don't want to get rid of them now, do you, Jay?
Oh my God. I do not want to come home with 20 troopers. So, but, no, like I said, they're fun. And it's an experiment. I'm hoping people like them. It seems, from what I've heard positive stuff from them. So, which is, you know, positive. And, you know, I think it's good for our group to, you know, kind of dabble in this. And, you know, it's worked well for other groups. And, you know, hopefully it does the same for us. You know, hopefully it brings in people from out of the area, people that might not normally come to these. If not, for, you know, interest alone, to, you know, just finally break the ice and meet their fellow Joe fans in the area. So make them realize that not everybody that's stealing the lowlights out there are scalpers. They're actually just collectors. Except for around where Chuck is, they're scalpers.
Hey, piling on.
By the way, I found the lowlight yesterday. It was kind of nice.
They're in short demand up in Canada. You might be able to trade for the Ashikos.
Anybody gets an extra lowlight, let me know. I'm looking for a buddy, to find one for a buddy. So I haven't had any luck so far. So if you don't have a place for it, Jay, let me know.
Right on.
It's one of those buddies of a buddy type thing, huh?
Yeah, I heard those stories before. So, no, but... And like I said before, it's being hosted by Kokomo Toys. The couple, rather, that runs it, Todd and Amber, extremely, extremely nice people. Very friendly, very easy to talk to. And the stuff that they have is just really cool. I mean, you walk in there and you get a nostalgia kick. And that's just kind of like the cherry on top, because – like I said, you're meeting Joe friends, some you haven't seen in a while, some you've never met, some you talk to every day. And it's just good to socialize and, you know, just see new folks and buy my figure. So, remember, buy my figure.
You said you had 20 of them, is that right?
No, I have 25 of them. Well, okay. 31 total. One of them's going to be put on eBay to kind of fund the next year's project if we do go that far. Five of them are going to be for people that's donated to the cause and the effort, and 25 are actually going to be for sale on site. So, like I said, we're kind of just, you know, kind of putting our foot in the water, trying to see what the reaction is, and then we'll go from there.
Hey, where can we find out more about CoilCon?
Well, funny you should ask. You should go to CoilCon.com. We also have a Facebook page. It's under the Midwest G.I. Joe Swap Meet, I believe. The CoilCon.com is just a website, an informational website. If you'd like to come and chat about it, you can go to CoilClub at CLUB.com. And if you're not registered, register and just tell me what you think. Tell us what you think. And, you know, if you're excited, if you're wondering what all's going on, post and, you know, we'll have some discussion.
And we have guests this year?
Yeah, we have a couple guests here. James Cavanaugh, the author of RAHC Guide. He's going to be there selling his books. Now, it was $40, so I believe that's still the case. It's really a good book. And, you know, as I said before, I dumped a ton of money in this era of G.I. Joe. So, you know, it's really helpful for me, at least. But really good book, really thorough. And quite frankly, I wouldn't expect any less from him. Just a good book. We also have the infamous Gary Head, who, you know, is
the most hated man in the Joe community.
Depends on what week that is.
Yeah. what did he get in new that makes everyone jealous? Yes.
You know, yeah, if he doesn't have anything new, then yeah, nobody likes him. So
funny thing, he said that himself. What does Gary Head have to offer this week? Nothing. Screw him.
Exactly. So, but you know, and you'll see some people that, you know, the screen names have been around forever. We might actually have some people from What's on Joe Mind, maybe. You know,
maybe. But,
you
know,
yeah.
Maybe.
They have nothing better to do.
Yeah. No, I have nothing better to do. It's only 35 miles away. Nothing. Maybe.
So, but no, I mean, it'll be good. I think anybody in the area who's at least a remote Joe fan would enjoy this. I mean, we're not the just crazy, you know, inverted types. You know, we go out, we talk, we hang out. Most of us are pretty good friends. And like I said, some of us talk every day. And, you know, it's nice for newcomers or people that, you know, really don't get out that much to, you know, just meet some of these guys, and like I said, you've seen these screen names for years. It's nice to actually meet them in person. It's just fun. And basically, the way I can think to put it is, it's a JoeCon without all the expenses, except for $25. Remember, buy my figure. Just saying. But no, one of the best things about JoeCon is seeing your buddies and hanging out, just talk about G.I. Joe and then talking about something else. And this is a way to do it. And especially if you're in the Midwest or, you know, like I said, we have some of these people that say they're coming in from Utah, actually Rhode Island. All these people are coming in and, you know, it should be a great time.
Now, you mentioned some drawings and stuff. Are there some specific prizes that you want to talk about that might get people interested in coming?
Yeah, well, there is this one little prize. Actually, I guess we're going to have it as a grand prize. I don't know. Character called Zorana. Maybe you heard of her.
Nice.
Yeah, so, you know, we... I don't know if he wants to be revealed who donated these.
A generous, overly generous,
absolutely.
Donation. Yes.
Okay. Chuck, you are a gentleman and a scholar. Thanks, Chuck.
Thanks, Chuck.
Now you ruined the surprise. So, but no, we are having a pair, that's two, of Zoranas, the pink shirt and the black shirt, the variant and the normal release, which, you know, is going to be a pain in the butt to get regardless, I'm sure, because, you know, the club isn't having any, just saying. So, yeah.
Breaking news from Jay. Thank you very much.
Sorry. So, you know, that's going to be our grand prize. You have to be present to enter. Basically, you know, you get a ticket, and upon, you know, about the end of the show, we're going to reveal the grand prize winner, and they're going to go home with these two very, you know, hard-to-find, very hot Zoranas. Not hot in terms of they're cute, but, you know, hot.
How you feel about your female
Whoa,
characters.
Jay, that's a little bit too much information right there.
Chicks with pink hair is just, there's just something about it.
Even though they're right. Now, so, well, I mean, at least the person won't have to be spending that Monday, because this is Comic-Con Saturday that the con will be on. You do not have to go online and, well, oh, other than maybe if you think the Sky Striker is going to be there. Who you fooling? Yeah. No, they're not going to be there. But you don't have to get in line and get online and have to wait for endless refreshing for these things to appear. You will have yours already.
Absolutely. Are you going to make myself for me or what? Come on now.
Well, says the guy that won one of the slaughters last year.
Well, there is that. Now I got to figure out a way to win both of these. So, usually what we have for these prize drawings is, you know, random figures, 25th, Pursuit of Cobra, earlier years that revolve around Venom versus Valor. But, you know.
Valor versus Venom, Jay. Valor versus Venom.
Thank you.
For someone who bought a ton of them.
You can't read the damn packaging.
Well, you know they're getting away from cursive with. Oh, wait, that's normal script. Never mind. we're going to have prizes throughout the day. I believe we're going to have, if the turnout's good, we're going to have prizes on the hour kind of a thing. Otherwise, if the turnout isn't as large as we'd like, we'd probably just have a big drawing.
We'll just keep all the prizes.
How many showed up last year?
What, was it about 40? 35, 40, so I don't know. Quite a few. I mean, one of us was too drunk to remember. I'm just not mentioning any names, but... No, but, you know, we had a good group of folks there. And like I said, from everything that we've heard, it sounds like it's going to be even more so this year, which is good. I mean, it's a good time to, you know, meet new faces, like I said. So I'm excited for it, and, you know, I'm ready to sell my figures.
I'm on the webpage now, and folks, if you go to the webpage, there are directions from, looks like, about every major point in the Midwest to Kokomo.
If you're still kind of lost or not sure where to go, again, you can go through coilclub.com. You can go through Facebook.
Drop me an email. I'll give you Gary's personal phone number. Cool.
There you go. See, there you go. I believe we.
This is not pick on Gary.
Well, Chuck's quiet, you know.
Yeah, Chuck has been quiet. Chuck, are you still there, man?
It's not Monday night. He's not watching wrestling. I know that.
Chuck,
I'm here.
Oh, is your microphone muted, there, smart guy?
Muted when I'm not speaking.
Chuck doesn't go to cons. He's anti-con.
Well, he goes to them, and then he stabs people.
Oh, that's right. Shivs.
It's probably best that he not go to CoilCon.
No, we don't want any shivs. Looks like there's a schedule on the webpage, a hotel information if you want to spend the night, and contact information, and then looks like a big link to Jay's exclusive figure where you can find out more about it. So looks like it's going to be a good time. I'm looking forward to it. It's kind of the last big get-together before you round out the summer, because then it's a cold, long winter here in the Midwest, and then we got to wait everything for any good news to come out of Toy Fair. So,
and you know, there's something else that's going on that day. Some little thing called San Diego Comic-Con. So
never heard of that one either.
Yeah, I'm sure there's going to be news that we can all talk about there, which is just as fun too, because you know, some of us just can't make it there for whatever reason. So we can all, you know, talk, whine that we can't get this, that, or the other, or, you know, just, you know, look forward to what's coming down the pipe, either be Joe or other assorted toy lines or comics. Yeah, they actually have comics there too now, right? Or is it just
Comic-Con?
Yeah.
No, I think they actually ban comics now. Reading, you cannot read a Comic-Con. Everything is a movie trailer.
Comics are too nerdy.
Yeah.
Comic book movies are the only thing that are allowed that have comics in the title, I believe.
Yeah, pretty much. And then you got to be a hot booth girl.
There you go.
Yeah, that's pretty much about everything.
You guys going to have any of those at CoilCon?
I look pretty good in a skirt.
Gary, can you confirm that?
Nor deny.
Well, James, right. All know.
Yeah, James, there you go. That's all you have to say is James.
Right. When in doubt, if you have to mention someone in a skirt, just turn it right to James. Yeah.
Perfect.
No. He's selling books. He's got his game face on.
He'll be selling books in a skirt.
There you go.
He's done it before. Or at least bright green shag shoes. Let's put it that way.
Well, so, the rest of us that can't make it, we'll pray that you guys have some good weather.
That's right, Greg. You're going to be at a wedding, right?
That is correct.
Yes. Okay, next year you don't have much of an excuse.
I'll start planning it, hopefully.
There you go.
At your wedding, Greg?
No.
Now, wait a minute. The girlfriend wasn't around when you said that.
I was going to say, she's still there?
What do you mean, no?
Did you hear the way he said no? That was the no, thank God.
Yeah. That would be a can of worms. Well done.
I was spinning around in my chair looking and then saying no.
doing the actual shifty eyes, not the one you see on the forum.
This is the reason why he doesn't let his girlfriend listen to the podcast. Not because of anything I say or do. He just doesn't want to get caught.
Yeah.
Boy, that's a mighty tough argument to debunk.
Yep.
Way to go, Chuck. I mean, just pin him right to the wall.
That's true. All right. Well, Jay, thanks again for joining us.
Thank you guys. I appreciate it. It was good talking to you guys.
Stick around, man. We're going to talk IDW, which is right in your wheelhouse, comics. Yeah.
So, you know, again, if you guys have any questions, we do have a contact page on the website. There's a few email addresses there. If you have any questions, feel free to contact us. We're more than willing to talk about what's coming down for the 23rd, and you know, we look forward to seeing you. Hopefully as many of you can make it as possible. We hope to see a good crowd, you know, nice diversity, new faces.
AJ, is Jim outrageous?
Truly outrageous.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, and now let's move on to the IDW segment. Back by popular demand, no less.
Yes, we've had a bunch of requests for us to talk about the IDW comics, so here we go. Just a little backstory. IDW got the license from Devil's
Due.
Yep, that was back in 2008. Or 2008 January is when we heard that Devil's Due was going to lose the license, and then May of 2008 we heard that IDW is picking it up, and they started with issue 0 in October 2008, and they've been rolling along since then. Justin, do you want to talk a little bit about Devil's Due comics? IDW comics, which ones are you reading currently?
Sure. And it's actually, this timing comes along nicely, too, because unfortunately, my schedule has not permitted me to review the comics on my website for probably going on a month or two now, which is unfortunate. I really like doing the comic reviews. Yeah. Well, if it takes me 3 months to get a concept review up, I mean.
Oh, holy cow. What's it going to take to get a 20-page comic out there? Lord.
Yeah. But no, I'm reading them all. I'm reading the main G.I. Joe title. I'm reading G.I. Joe Cobra. I'm reading the Snake Eyes title. And I'm reading Real American Hero, of course. And, you know, they've just recently started the Cobra Civil War arc. They're kind of moving along on that, and it's pretty good. It's not bad. It's not knocking my socks off. It's feeling pretty similar to my thoughts on it's tough. They go by seasons now. They call their first 22 or 24 issues season one. So I'm kind of beginning to see. Yeah. I'm getting the same vibe as I was getting from the first season, in that the main G.I. Joe title is probably the weakest title of the bunch, which is kind of weird because it's supposed to be their flagship title. And it really doesn't read that way, at least not to me. I know the G.I. right now, they've kind of got a bunch of guys competing to become the new Cobra Commander, with the old Cobra Commander deceased as of the end of season one. And you're kind of going through issue by issue, waiting to see what they're competing by, seeing who can kill the most Joes. And it's kind of...
So it looks like Joe is up by a touchdown and a field goal right now.
Yeah, exactly.
29-29.
Yep.
At the end of season two.
If you go to my website, you see there's a little IDW casualty counter in the upper right-hand corner, which increments automatically depending on what happened in that particular issue. And it's I'm having a hard time kind of wrapping my head around exactly how they get those numbers. But, you know, I guess I have to trust in IDW on that. And, you know, it's they're kind of stuck in a hard place. Anytime you're determined to write a story based on how many Joe characters are going to die, you're kind of writing yourself into a corner, because you're going to run into people that get ticked off when favorite character X is killed. So they're forced to kind of dip into this deep well of green shirts, essentially, to kill all these people off that you've never even been introduced to. So it really doesn't mean a whole lot. So, like I said, they're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place, because they kill an established character, the fandom gets mad, they yell at them, you know, whatever, I'm going to stop reading. But they don't kill an established character, and they just keep on killing these rookie green shirts. It really doesn't have any impact and doesn't really move the story along. So, you know, they kind of get stuck, and they end up killing people like the Ninja Force guys, who nobody really saw in IDW yet until they died, or they introduced Barbecue in one panel just to kill him three panels later. You know, that's the kind of thing they're forced to do. But, you know, I feel like I'm talking bad about the whole series. It's not bad. I'm really not a big fan of the Javier Solteris art in the main book. It doesn't suit the Joe title well at all. He kind of had a very interesting, eclectic style when he did the Ghost Rider stuff back in the 90s, which really doesn't fit with a more realistic military title. I don't think the guns don't look right. The characters don't look right. Everything looks a little bit too cartoony. The Snake Eyes title, surprisingly, I am absolutely in love with. I really like what Chuck Dixon is doing with the Snake Eyes title. This is what really gets me so weirded out, kind of, because Chuck Dixon is writing both titles. Yet Snake Eyes is great. The main G.I. Joe title is really not great. I don't know if it's all down to the art, because Robert Adkins is doing the art for Snake Eyes, and he's doing an absolutely phenomenal job. I love pretty much every single panel he draws. but the main G.I. Joe title is just kind of slugging along there. It's and a really cool point. I mean, I don't know how many people have been reading, how many spoilers we're going to let out there, but I mean, essentially, Storm Shadow and Zartan have infiltrated the pit, and they're in the midst of destroying it, or have just destroyed it. And it's actually a pretty cool concept. I like the idea. It just didn't seem to get executed all that well, I guess, is my problem. You know, when in the old Marvel book, in issue number 53, when Cobra actually successfully destroys the pit, there was a sense of gravitas to it. You know, there was a real sense of, wow, this is a big event. This is pretty serious. You know, how are the Joes going to recover from this? In the IDW universe, it's just kind of like, oh, okay, they destroyed the pit. You know, whatever. And, you know, maybe that's not fair to IDW, because Larry Hama of issue number 53 is building off, I guess, 4 or 5 years of continuity as one of the highest-ranking titles of the era. So maybe it automatically meant more, but I don't know. I'm having a hard time getting into it. Even the Cobra book is kind of leaving me a little cold. At least the last issue I read did, just, you know, some mixing up with code names between Breaker and Steeler, and I don't know. I'm just not feeling it, especially at the moment. At least not that aspect of it. The Real American Hero book, I'm still in love with. I like that one as well. Larry's really
picking up. Yeah, that's a lot of fun.
He's doing a great job with that book. It feels so much like you're reading a continuation of the 80s. I don't really know how he's doing it, but he's not, you know, I'm not trying to belittle what he does, but he's writing very basic stories. It's nothing complicated. It's nothing dramatic, nothing world-changing, just very basic stuff.
I think
stuff.
You're just dipping back into the bag of tricks that work. Yeah. I don't want to say that's a negative thing. I mean, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I mean...
And that's the whole point of the title, is to kind of write back.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, people like Billy. People like Dr. Venom. I mean, they don't see his face, but they briefly, you know, you see a spirit of Quinn.
Yeah.
I mean, all these people. I mean, the Arctic Joe squad goes back up to the Russian Arctic Outpost, totally. Which was an issue number 2 way back in 1982. Yep. And they even call back to that, you know, little asterisk, you know, G.I. Joe number 2, you know, back in the day. So they sticks with what works. Hey, I remember that. Okay, let's do that. Okay, cool. And and they're bringing back, you know, some of the classic vehicles, the shark, the whale. We saw yet another dog fight between the Wild Weasel and Ace.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, that issue went over well back in the original Marvel days. If ain't broke, don't fix it. And I'm marginally happy, and I look forward to reading Real American Hero when the new one comes out.
And S.L. Gallant, I don't know, I don't recognize, I know he did the art in the Rise of Cobra adaptations that IDW did last, or 2009 now. And I liked him there, and I really like him in Real American Hero. He just mirrors that Rod Wiggum kind of realistic art perfectly. The characters he draws look just like they looked in the 80s. He's got the right collar on Destro, kind of the right uniform on Zartan. He took the same artistic licenses now that Wiggum and Wagner and those guys took back then. That really makes it flow really nicely together. And the thing I got the biggest kick out of, it was, you know, a few issues ago, I don't know exactly which issue it was, but you see the new Pursuit of Cobra Hiss sitting in a parking lot, kind of with old school Toxo Vipers and Vipers walking around it, and it's just really cool to kind of see the new stuff integrated with the old stuff so seamlessly, and it all really flows well. And I'm falling more in love with that title every month. I'm really enjoying it.
I couldn't agree more. That's basically, I get the IDW universe stuff when I get around to it, but I never miss Real American Hero. Every cover, the variant covers, you know, I'm buying it. I'm on board for that. And so far, you know, people can say, you know, some of the stuff was sappy and unbelievable back in the day, but you know, so far the action's been good. I mean, to see the whale get the crap shot out of it,
oh yeah,
was awesome, and see them all kind of hanging on to be rescued, and then the Baroness and Destro sail away in an old school submarine. Corps commander gets, so you have back the evil triangle where you know, each one of the members of Cobra is trying to outdo each the other, and then, you know, for even more obscure type characters, I know a friend of ours probably wouldn't like it to say Crystal Ball is obscure, but hey, Crystal Ball's pretty obscure, and he makes an appearance, a pretty prominent appearance in the last issue that came out. Mm-hmm. So, hey, they're touching on all points of the compass. I think this series is going on strong. I like it, and
me too.
If you were a fan of the Marvel universe, pick it up. I mean, you're not that far into it, so you probably won't have to go get a ton of back issues, but there's some there, and pick them up and get yourself out pretty quick.
And I'm hoping I can kind of get my reviews kicked back off on my site, too, maybe if I get some more time for you.
Yeah, maybe some incentive for people to see from Justified.
Did a comic come out last week?
Last week? Trying to remember if I hit the comic shop last week or not. I don't remember off the top of my head.
Because my wife reads as well, and she went to the comic shop. And
oh, that's right.
She was expecting to see it, but it wasn't there. So I didn't know if ours just got a shaft or what.
I think there was supposed to be a new issue with Snake Eyes, maybe, but it didn't come. I don't remember exactly what it was, but that rings a bell. But there was supposed to be a new issue last week, but for some reason it didn't hit. Or maybe there wasn't a new issue last week. No, I think last week there actually wasn't a new issue.
Okay.
Thinking on it.
So, Jay, which series are you reading?
You know, I go in and out of comics, and Joe and all comics. I mean, I go a couple years reading them, and then I go a couple years where I just don't want anything to do with them. Currently, I'm kind of in the lull here of where I just don't read much of them. I kind of do flip through them. We just picked up the Hearts and Minds issue with Tripwire. his story, and you know, I read that, and that's first. Honestly, that's the first Joe comic I've really actually sat and read. You know, not really flipped through in probably a couple months.
I lied. I'm looking back here. It looks like G.I. Joe number 3 did come out last week. I don't know how I
okay. Gary, did you get it? Do you know? Or did you get it last week?
No, I'm only getting the Real American Hero.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that. I think our comic shop, you know, got stiffed on him, so we're expecting him either this week or next. So, we get him. Like I said, my wife reads it as well. So, and you know, I'll flip through them. If something really jumps at me, that you know, I'll actually sit down and read. But I'm just, like I said, I'm in my comic lull right now.
Yeah, it's funny that I spaced on that title, because that's the title where they actually do destroy the pit. So I don't know why I forgot that it came out last week, but that's what happens. Kind of sorry to spoil that for you.
Yeah, Real American Hero 168 is not out yet. I'm just looking at Yojo's holder page, which I didn't think it was. So normally I make a run to go pick them up, but last week I had company in town, mother-in-law, dun dun dun. So some of that stuff got pushed to the side, and I'm glad this didn't come out, because I would have forgot about it, and then it would have been horrible show prep. Which is so par for the course, actually, I think, really.
Let's say, what else is new?
That's true. I think the good thing about IDW...
Oh, snap.
There seems to be, pretty much for whatever kind of G.I. Joe that you're interested in, whether it's the continuation of the original series, or a newer version of it, or if you want like a crime noir with G.I. Joe Cobra, or Hearts and Minds, which is kind of these one-off issues with that focused on specific characters, there's really something for, I mean, basically anybody that's interested in G.I. Joe, which is kind of nice. It's there's a lot of variety of stuff that's coming out, which is good to see.
Yeah, and without dwelling on it too much, I think that's part of what's bugging me about the current little mini arc of the G.I. Joe Cobra series. It seems to have gotten away from that film noir style a little bit. I know the last issue was just kind of a Croc Master ambushing the Joes, a lot of kind of more military action, which honestly Antonio Fuso isn't necessarily best geared for in the artistic department, so maybe that's why it didn't flow all that well, but I don't know.
Yeah, I got the first trade for G.I. Joe Cobra, but I haven't read the second one yet, and it's a continuing, ongoing series right now, right?
It's ongoing. Yep, it's an ongoing series. They went through, I think, 13 issues of an ongoing series through, quote-unquote, season one, and then they started back over with issue one with the Cobra Civil War, and they've kind of been going off from there. And it's been pretty good. The first couple issues were good, but this last one, just, I don't know, it didn't do much for me.
Okay. One other thing that IDW did, which is really kind of different, was earlier this spring they released the Tales of Cobra Wars. It's basically a book, a novel. It's a bunch of short stories written by different authors, set in the IDW universe, but it's fluid enough that it could be pretty much any universe that you wanted it to, which I know, Justin, you had a link to battlegrip.com. He did a review of it.
Yes.
I made sure I didn't read it before I actually read the book. It took me a while. There's a lot of stories. I think the book itself has got to be about 200 pages thick. So,
excellent.
It's pretty interesting that they got all these different authors from all these different genres to write stories, including the first one's like a Chuck Dixon story about Snake Eyes, which, like you had mentioned, he seems to get Snake Eyes pretty well.
Yeah.
More than, you know, like you said, the Snake Eyes book is a little better than the mainline one, but if you want something a little bit different, I'd recommend people pick it up and give it a read. Each story is like about 50 pages or so, and they focus on different Joes doing different types of missions, including probably one of my favorite ones is Speed Trap, and it's actually about Skidmark, surprisingly.
That's awesome. That is awesome.
Skidmark.
First time anybody's probably cared about him other than his ridiculous code name, but it's basically him transporting from I think it's like Arkansas up to the pits, and he's getting, it's like a road race where he has to drive a Prius versus like a souped up muscle car.
Nice. So
It's pretty cool. I recommend it for people that want something a little bit different or something that's it's not comics, but it's, you know, it's in that same vein of action. So.
See, really, I mean, I think that's the gold of G.I. Joe. You have all these random characters that people identify with, and they're just not necessarily skid marks so much, but they'd like to see just that little spotlight on them.
I've heard skid mark is Chuck's favorite character, so don't hate on skid mark.
Silence means yes.
As Chuck unmutes his microphone, desperately trying to retort.
All right, so we'll try to keep you guys more in the loop on IDW's releases and stuff as they're coming out. Hopefully, with Justin getting back into the reviews, we can just touch on them.
I'm gonna try like heck. I've got a post kind of that I've been writing slowly over the past week about you know, why I haven't reviewed them, you know, how I'm hoping to pick that back up and stuff. It's just time is not on my side at the moment.
All right.
While we're waiting for Chuck to unmute his mic, it is now 4-1 National League, thanks to a 3-run homer by your man, Greg, Prince Fielder.
Yep, I saw it.
That dude's fat. I mean, he's just huge. I mean, I know
Andy plays the field.
Jay, I knew you were going to say that. I knew you were going to say that.
Oh, we've got National League going on here, don't we?
Yeah. 4-1 National League. Bottom of the sixth, we got a runner on second, two out. So
he played the field well, though. That's what I want to know.
Plays the field. He doesn't have the same
one. It's not looking good for the American League.
That'll help with the Brewers' chances for a World Series. We've been terrible on the road this year, but they've been much better at home, so that helps.
Really? You think the Brewers are going to make the World Series, really?
I believe it. Got to believe.
The right. Brewers are that team that just kind of just picks away at the real teams.
Well, your team, when it comes time for playoffs, just won't hit the ball. Yeah, exactly.
Are you a Reds fan, Jay? Are you Cardinals or what?
You know, Cardinals and Reds, actually. I grew up with the Reds.
Oh, my word.
I started watching.
Got no hit in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So that's what we do here on What's on Joe Mind. We talk about sports as well. And that's why, you know, Chuck's mic is muted.
Yeah, I know you're a Bengals fan, and I try not to give you a hard time about that during football season.
But. It's just so easy, too.
No. And I know we got to get down to the Sky Striker drawing, but, you know, he calls himself a Bengals fan, but he also floats to the Patriots. So he is a total bandwagon dude.
I have no problem with that.
I know you have no problem with that.
Come on.
Dude lives in Indy with the Colts, and he bails on the hometown team, supports the Bengals and the freaking Patsies.
He knows quality when he sees it.
Quality crap.
How many rings does Peyton have again there, Gary?
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, it does.
Doesn't matter.
It kind of does, yeah.
It kind of does.
It's kind of the point of the game.
Hey, you know what? I will say this. The Patriots are the worst 18-1 team ever.
I think best 18-1
team. No, the best 18-1 team ever, I believe, would be, I would give that to the
like
Bears.
The 49ers back in the 90s, wasn't it?
Maybe. But yeah, certainly you have the worst 18-1 team ever.
Yeah, whatever.
Says a Red Sox fan. That blows my mind beyond.
What? That a Red Sox fan hates the Patriots?
Yeah.
Dude, look where I live. All right, let's move on.
Here you guys complain about terrible teams for the next 5 minutes. I don't think I can handle it.
Oh, shut up. You got the Green Bay Packers. God.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
Talk about overrated quarterbacks, hey?
Oh.
Anyways, let's do this drawing.
Okay, so do we want to read off the question and then read off the answer?
Yeah, we could do that.
Okay, go ahead. We got sound effects queued. So go ahead, read off the question, and then we'll read off the answer.
All right. Number one, what is Gary's favorite G.I. Joe character? And the answer was?
Cover Girl.
That joke is old. That joke is old, Jay. Sorry.
The answer is Snow Job, of course.
Snow Job?
There you go. Question number two. What was question number two?
That
was me, yeah. What is Greg's only sideshow figure that he owns? And the answer is Beachhead. And question number three, the stumper. What was Justin's old AOL email account? And it was ClaytonAbernathy@AOL.com.
Jeez.
Yeah.
And question number four, which everyone got right. What is the rumored to be canceled vehicle that Chuck really wants? And the answer is cycle armor with a Chico.
All right. So how many got all correct? Out of everybody that entered, how many got all correct?
We have five that got all five.
Five?
All four.
Wow. Made it a lot harder than a... And we gave everyone an extra week almost. Jeez. Yep. And hinted at it. Okay. Well, you know, it's a rare prize, so it deserves to be hard.
This is true.
All right, so...
I got the names in a hat. I'm in my Milwaukee Brewers hat. And so I'm flipping them up right now.
So he'll draw the loser first.
And just to warn you that one of the people that did get these right is on the podcast. Where I will let everyone know.
And the winner is?
All right, digging in right now. Drum roll, please.
It's already played.
Oh, okay. Actually, I'll have Erica pick it. You want to pick the winner?
Right. Just kidding, it's an engagement ring.
She can't hear that, thankfully. go ahead and say it.
It's Scott.
Scott. Scott is the winner.
What is Scott's last name?
Hold on, I did
not
write
it. No, we don't. We do not have to read that out online.
That's a good point.
Yeah, but what we will do is Greg will email Scott.
Yes.
And ask for his address, and he'll send it on to me, and I will take that out to the post office and put your brand spanking new 2011 30th anniversary pre-production Sky Striker in the mail to you so you can get it before everyone else does.
Congrats.
Congratulations, Scott. And no, I am not Scott.
So... I guess one of the other winners was Jay.
Yeah, the other people that got it right, we can just say their names real quick. It was James Kavanaugh, of course. He was one of them that got all four rights. Bobby was one. John, otherwise known as P Love.
Ah, nice.
And Jay. So nice job, guys. And thanks to everyone that entered. We had actually had quite a few entries. I know we made the questions hard, but that was on purpose because we're not giving away just something that you could pick up at a store anytime you wanted to. This is a pretty neat contest and prize that we thought. So I think this one went well enough that we could probably do a few more in the future.
Sure.
Awesome.
Gary will just spot the prizes. We'll be good to go.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. there's an out on that one. I'm not going to say. All right. So what do we got next?
That is it. We are done.
That is it.
Come on, we can go another hour.
Oh, well, let's send it. We'll probably send it around the horn one more time. Did anyone get anything in this week?
I did not. No.
No? So it's everyone. It's a big wait to Comic-Con.
I got my a Canadian buddy of mine to hook me up with the Ashiko, another Ashiko, and the His Scout. I don't have them yet, but they...
Another. That just must pain Chuck.
Hey, Chuck, I'm going to have two, and you're going to have none. How's that? Chuck, where are you anyway?
I'm right here. Right. You know, the problem is that besides having my mic on mute, I flip up the mic so it's not directly in front of my face, so I don't like accidentally bump into it if I'm like rubbing my nose or something.
All right.
But yeah, but ask Gary about how I'm getting the bike, maybe.
Gary, how is Chuck getting the bike?
He's mooching from every Canadian friend he has on Facebook.
No. Gary's going to... Okay. As all the listeners know, as you guys know, I'm actually good friends with Numbers, who we had on the show a couple episodes ago, who creates Ages 25 and Up, that little G.I. Joe Dio comedy strip. Well, when I saw on Justin's page Well, actually, no, I'm sorry. Once I saw on Terradrome's page that it said Ashiko bikes being spotted, because on Justin's page he said, "Hey, Canadians, answer your phone." And I'm like, what the hell is he doing? And then maybe a couple hours later, I clicked, and I'm like, oh, this is
what
he's doing.
That's a tease. That's called a tease. You're supposed to say,
he's
whoa, what are you talking
money.
About? Go to the site to see what the...
Well, I went to the site after I had an idea of what you were talking about. I went on Facebook, and I typed, you know, a little message to numbers. Well, sure enough, who pops up with a little pithy comment, not even 30 seconds after I put it up, but Gary.
Wow, clearly, couldn't imagine that.
Clearly, Gary had to be sitting there on that page. When's Chuck putting it up? Oh, I got to bust Chuck's chops. Oh, boy. Oh,
That is what Gary sounds like.
That's exactly
when I'm wanting to bust Chuck's chops.
Oh, you want to know what Gary sounds like? Yeah, this is Gary here. Yeah, I like busting Chuck's chops. Yeah. Yep.
Did he tape you while you weren't paying attention?
Chuck is our very own Zartan. Yeah.
So, Greg, do you have an Ashiko?
I do not. No, but
okay.
A gentleman on Justin's site, Hawk Winter, I emailed him. He had graciously said, anybody that's interested, just send me an email and I can try to hook him up. So hopefully if he gets
Greg's totally mooching off his newfound Joe celebrity status too. I mean, let's just put it that way.
Work it.
Yeah.
I also got an Ashiko this week. So courtesy of a little trade. So
good.
Working on a second one too, hopefully.
Did you get a chance to open it yet?
No. Yeah, that's the thing. I don't physically have it yet. It's in the state. So that's a plus. It's in the, I'm just waiting to meet up with my buddy, and he will give me the goods.
Oh, very cool.
So this is one of the things that, and I'm sure as soon as I get it, I'll be like, yeah, okay, I got it. But, it's one of the things.
Yeah, it's pretty much exactly how I do. As soon as I transformed it and put it in its alternate mode, and you're like, man, that was a pain in the ass. Forget it. It's just going to stay like that.
Yeah, I'm never going to do that again.
That's why I gave up Transformers. Thank you very much.
I'm dying to see somebody up in Canada or somebody, that got it down here in the States, just paint it seafoam green. So,
Right on, brother. I know what you're going for.
So,
we should wrap this up before it comes into a Transformer podcast. Yeah.
Chuck and two other people on the planet know what you're talking about.
That's better than my normal odds.
Usually, because it's not Transformers, you wise ass.
It's robots. It's not Joe.
Or Genesis Climber, which are popular animes.
Popular in Japan.
Robotech was actually neck and neck with Transformers for the number one cartoon in the United States for a while, and Mos Speeda drew better ratings in Japan than Fight Super Robot Life Transformers. So there's a better chance that listeners have.
He is just on a rant. He's a if this was a video cast, you would see that vein on his forehead probably popping out.
That's it. You know what? Oh yeah, let's all just take shots at Chuck. Yep.
He's all making up for his whole episode of silence by going.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's probably a good time to wrap it up. But before we do, Justin was part of this, and so was I. But we wanted to point out an interesting thread over on his tank. And the only reason I wanted to point it out is interesting. It just shows someone in the community wanting to do something positive and talk to people in the community and try to interview them that are involved in other aspects of collecting. Not just coming onto the boards and, spamming them or, not adding any contribution to the boards whatsoever. But Drunken Monkey has a thread over on, I believe it's the general discussion area of his tank, called 30 Years and Counting. And Justin was interviewed, and then I was interviewed a couple days after Justin. I recommend you get over there and take a look at it. Not only was Justin interviewed, you had Air Devon, where she was talking about her extensive collection. Gary Head was interviewed. And you got some other seasoned his tankers that will be over there that he'll be interviewing as well that seem to be generally good people, and you might want to read about their story. So I did want to point it out as a kind of a positive thing in the community. I thought it was worth mentioning. 30 years and counting by Drunken Monkey on his tank. Cool. Anything else?
Nope, that is it.
Mm-hmm. I think we're done.
All right, well, that's fantastic. Actually, we tried to make it short, but and I think we went long with baseball.
It's what matters, man.
Forget about this toy crap. Next week, we start the sports podcast.
Yes, next week. Well, we'll talk about next week here in a second. But that wraps it up for this episode. You can talk to us at whatsonjoemind@gmail.com, as always. You can listen to us at iTunes and at whatsonjoemind.podbean.com and /mobile for mobile devices. Read about us on Facebook at facebook.com/whatsonjoemind. Find us at our home at joedeclassified.com or one of our various threads in the community at TNI, Terradrome, Joe Customs, JBL, His Tank, Tri-State Vipers, Fighting 118, Blood for the Baron, Yo-Jo, and the G.I. Joe Collectors Club if you can find it.
It's a low blow, Gary.
Thank you. We'll continue to run with that one. Regardless, we look forward to hearing from you. All right, next week, as I mentioned, is San Diego Comic-Con preview week, and we'll be joined by an extremely special guest. Not to say that Jay was not extremely special, but Jay was special in his own right.
He's special in his own right.
That's exactly.
I love Jim.
Terry Desard of Yojo.com will be in the house. So, thank you, Chuck. Don't disrespect Terry Desard of Yojo by singing over his bit. So we'll hopefully have this G.I. Joe 2, this mouse character situation taken care of.
So you guys interview him for Chuck's spot yet?
Yeah, I think so. I think we're going to have to call in Mike here soon. Because he's easier to tune out.
He just
does it automatically.
Turns himself off.
We'll also review the penultimate episode, finally, of Renegades before it's canceled. put on hiatus. We'll play a game called Will We See It on Hasbro Toy Shop or Not on Monday?
I know that game.
It's a bad game. Before I forget, circle August 3rd on your calendars. That is when we'll be joined by Chris from Molten Monkey Incorporated to talk about SK Omega. So we'll finally get that down, guys. So if anyone else doesn't have anything to add, I can wrap it up right now. Anyone else?
Well, going once, going twice? I truly appreciate you guys having me on to talk about it. You know, for all the listeners, if you want something like this, what these guys are doing, I mean, this is what we do at CoilCon. I mean, we just talk about Joe and, you know, maybe insert random Jim things, but, you know.
Insert where?
Ooh, family programs.
Yeah, I was gonna say, it's a family program. Come on. I'm ashamed.
No, I appreciate you guys, and it's a lot of fun. I appreciate it.
Our pleasure.
Thanks, Jay.
Thanks, Jay. Alrighty.
Give my address to mail that exclusive figure after the show.
You'll want it reviewed. You'll want it reviewed. All right, well, that does it for this week. Once again, we thank our guest, G.A. Hunger of the Coil Club, for talking to us about CoilCon 2011. Sounds like it'll be a good time. So for our showrunner, Greg, co-host Justin and Chuck, I'm Gary saying good night and see you next week on What's on Joe Mine.
See ya.
How's that gem song go again?
No, make it stop. Come on, Chuck. I'm ready to play. All the words. How is that possible?